Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, getting ready for our final big Monday doubleheader of the regular season. The Boeheim brothers leading Syracuse against Carolina 7 Eastern. Then a big one in the Big 12. Number 10 Baylor in Austin to take on number 20 Texas. Both games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up. As I said before, I'm all by myself, but by no means alone. The crew is ready to go. We are jam-packed. We're at the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and we are busy on this Monday. Cindy, let's roll it. It is time to get up with a hideous Hollywood horror show. LeBron's Lakers blown out and booed. What happens now in L.A.? Legler is standing by. Plus, Packers planning, making moves. Do they signal a decision in the offing? Could today be the day for Aaron? And will Wentz be one and done with the horseshoe? If so, where do they and where does he go from here? We've got questions and answers on a busy Monday with Get Up, and it starts with this. The blowout of the night. A lot of questions about the Lakers, and they have few answers. First quarter, here's a tone setter. LeBron, what is that? It's a terrible pass. Herbert Jones coming the other way. How about some defense? Anybody? Optional. Not a great start for the Lakers, and it just got worse. Second quarter, Russell Westbrook. What? Going the other way. Defense, anyone? Jay Will spotlighted this play earlier. Anyone interested in coming to get C.J. McCollum? Doesn't appear that way. 41 seconds to go in the half. Lakers are down by 12. Throwing it away again. Lakers, 16 turnovers in the first half, tied for the most in any half by any LeBron James team ever in his career, regular season or playoffs. Third quarter, look at this pass. That's to no one in particular. And listen to the fans in L.A. And I was booing, and I'm 3,000 miles away. Later in the third, Pelicans are up 28. And look at this, DeAndre Jordan. I have no explanation whatsoever for that pass. The Lakers, 23 turnovers. They lose by 28 points. After the game, a lot of questions, not a lot of answers.
I don't have an answer from tonight. I mean, obviously, you talk about the future. That's for us all to figure out. I mean, you don't know what can happen in the next, you know, few weeks. But tonight, I mean, from the six minute point of the second quarter through the third, no answers. No, this season is definitely different.
Does the booing, like, you know, pretty loud, especially at the end of the game, does that stick with you? Like, how do you respond to that? Like,
nah.
You don't take that home with you?
Take it home? For what?
I don't think about it.
One. Take it home. Man, well, I got three beautiful kids at my house. My wife, I ain't taking it home. They can take their booing, they can take their home. I ain't worried about that. Doesn't bother me none.
All right, so I suppose that's fine. Here's Tim Legler with us. But they've got problems, Legs. I mean, it has been such a bad and disappointing season for the Lakers that to suggest anything felt like the low point seems like hyperbole. But last night sort of did. How do we explain where this team is right now?
No, it absolutely was a low point, Greeny, because when you have that kind of lack of ball security and lack of regard for ball security, and then a lack of competitive will to make up for that, which you saw with some of the defensive breakdowns that they had, and really just lack of effort on that end of the floor, it doesn't get worse than it looked last night for the Lakers. And this is a team right now, I think their biggest issue is they do not fight through adversity within the course of an individual game. When they have runs go against them or they have a series of possessions that they string together that don't go their way, you see the body language change. You see the shoulders drop. You see the head drop. You see the lack of chemistry when they're walking off the floor to go to the huddle and to hopefully get some answers on how they can go out there and make adjustments. You don't see any sort of connectivity amongst these players. And it really all came to a head last night. That's the worst performance of the year by far for the Lakers. You can't win an NBA game. You turn the ball over that many times, particularly when defensively you show that lack of effort as well. So right now the Lakers are an absolute mess. It's been sort of a mess all season long, but to face a game like they did last night this late in the year, it's a real problem. I still think they're going to be a play-in team, but Green, it's impossible to fathom this team winning a seven-game series against some of these top teams in the Western Conference. They're too good, they're too deep, they're too connected, they shoot it too well, and they've got great star leadership. The Lakers right now are lacking all of those things.
Yeah, to bear in mind, the winner of the play-in scenario is either going to play Phoenix, Golden State, or Memphis in a first-round situation. Impossible to picture the right now the Lakers competing with any of those teams. Let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Let's go from the West to the East. Let's go from the worst to the best. Boy, did the Sixers look good. Game number two, it was Harden at the Garden, and he and Joel Embiid just look unstoppable. Take a look at this. Julius Randle, well, you know he's going left, and Harden knows that. And so, but look at him give it up here. Look at that, just running the floor and rewarding the big fella with the no-look dish for Joel Embiid, who looked like he was having as much fun as anyone you will ever see. Take another look here. Harden, this is what he does so well. James Harden had it all going. He became the first Sixers player with 15 points and 10 assists and a half since Allen Iverson in 2006. Pocket pass there. Just unstoppable. Great teamwork from the stars. Second half, and this was a game into the third quarter. The Knicks sort of hung in there, but they're not going to stop these guys. Throwing it up and throwing it down. Joel Embiid would go for 37 points and 9 rebounds. Harden, just a monster on the stat sheet. 29 points, 16 assists, 10 boards. Sixers in dominant fashion, 2-0 with a flourish since they made the trade. And afterwards, Embiid energized.
Unstoppable. Man, what are you really going to do? He's a great passer. And obviously, I got someone that attracts. That attracts a lot of attention to. So you got to make a decision. Do you, you know, stay on me or do you stay on them?
I mean, he's sort of spelling it out right there. It might sound oversimplified, but it really does feel like this two-man game is unstoppable. Let's take a look at a little tape, Timmy.
Yeah, these are two guys that can win every single matchup that's in front of them, and it's the most potent offensive duo we have in the league, and they can physically overwhelm you. And a lot of it revolves around James Harden's ability to make plays off pick and roll. And here, I love this set. You get a little ball screen, brush screen initially to get the defender trailing Harden. You draw three. Now, what pass are you going to make? When the guys are connected to shooters on the other side of the floor, you've got them Embiid rolling to the rim. Take a look at this. Mitchell Robinson, great job, gets up in the air so you can't throw a lob. What's left? A pocket pass. So James Harden has the ability to make any pass in any situation. Here's another one. Don't give it to him too early. If you throw it here to Embiid, one of those backline defenders can slide over, potentially take a charge. So he's the master of the late find. He does not give the basketball up until he absolutely has committed multiple defenders to him as a scorer, and it makes the game easier for the recipient of the pass. And he throws those pocket passes, Greeny, with that little bit of English on the ball. That's not for show. He does that so when the ball hits the ground, it actually deadens so it's softer to catch. And that's important for a 7-1 guy rolling to the rim. So James Harden has everything at his disposal offensively. We know that. And now you're paired up with a guy that was playing the most dominant offensive basketball in the league over the last couple of months. The ceiling for this team is unlimited. The question is just going to be, you know, can they manage the pressure situations? Because they have had issues in the past, not just Harden, but also Embiid in playoff series. Doc Rivers has had some issues with blowing leads in series of teams he has coached. So that's the only thing really remaining to be questioned. They've got enough shooting. I think they've got enough complementary parts with Maxey and Tobias Harris. This is the most dominant duo we have. Question's going to be, can they navigate the pressure of a postseason when they're expected to win series? But certainly the first two games, you can't ask for a more seamless transition to a new era than the Sixers have just shown us the last two games.
Yeah, they have their first home game. They play the Knicks Wednesday night, and that game will be here on ESPN as well. Legler, I'll talk to you on my radio show a little later today. I have like 600 other questions, so stay close by. We will get to that. In the meantime, the questions in the NFL continue to be about that man, the biggest domino of them all. all. Tick, tick, tick. Aaron Rodgers. A new week begins. When will the decision on his future come? While the Packers wait, they continue to restructure contracts. Field Gates reporting the team converted like $11.5 million of David Bakhtiari's compensation into a signing bonus. Bear in mind, what that basically means is that they are clearing up the space for Aaron Rodgers to return, which is what they're obviously trying to make happen. Jeff Darlington, as a new week begins, what are we hearing?
Well, Greeny, not just Aaron Rodgers when it comes to restructuring, but Davante Adams, which, of course, is a key cog in Aaron Rodgers returning. Look, every single conversation that I've had over the last few weeks, whether it's with people close to Rodgers, close to the organization, or those with other teams who are interested in trading for Rodgers, the momentum still feels like it is decidedly headed toward Aaron Rodgers returning to Green Bay. Look, this is a guy who has had positive conversations with the Packers since the end of the season. The team hired Tom Clements out of retirement, one of Rodgers' mentors, which was a very important component for Rodgers. Talked about Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, I would imagine, would get some reassurances that he will be back in 2022. And then perhaps we get the decision finally from Rodgers. But still, Greeny, this feels like it's headed in the direction of Rodgers returning to Green Bay.
It's remarkable how the momentum seems to have moved in that direction. But, you know, in baseball, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. And in football, this is just one person's decision at the end of the day. So who That's knows? Right. Dan, what should he do? He's watching. You know he's watching right now. You know he values your opinion. Tell Aaron Rodgers what he should do.
I think he should stay in Green Bay, and I think he will. I think it's his best place for individual performance and team success. Both of we know matter to Aaron Rodgers. I think it's his best place to continue to play at an MVP caliber when it comes to the offensive line, when it comes to the scheme and the play calling, when it comes to the proper role players. And then I do believe, not even close, it's his greatest chance to go win a Super Bowl. If we're being honest about the NFC, the teams that we really believe are the best team or the hardest teams to have to go through next year are going to be the Rams. We'll see about San Francisco, what they do at quarterback. And nobody else I feel like I can pound the table for. So Green Bay would be the obvious favorite. Now, if he comes back, Green, I do believe that there are steps that need to happen. Number one, they should look to trade Jordan Love. The pick is not bringing any value to the organization. And what if it does in 6 years from now, it doesn't matter. So see if you can recoup some value for him. Number two, you got to go get a difference maker opposite Davante Adams. It shows up in the playoffs. Number three, you got to go to get a difference maker in your front seven. Somebody like a Demario Davis from the New Orleans Saints. And then candidly, number four, I don't care what they do September through December next year if he's back. Aaron Rodgers, we need you. We want you to play your best four-game stretch of the season to see if you can go get your second Super Bowl.
And I guess it could theoretically be a three-game stretch if they get the one bye,
right,
as they would have had this year. But the point is well taken. Ninko, how about that? Is that his best shot? Right now, you assess Green Bay, Denver, and whatever else he may be thinking that we may not otherwise know. What's his best shot to win the whole thing?
Yeah, it's Green Bay, and like what Dan said, the Green Bay Packers need to make an effort to surround him with more talent. And you think of it this way. When I was listening to his MVP speech, everything that he said, especially the praise to the head coach, just made me think he's coming back. There's no way that you're going to say all these things and not come back to the Green Bay Packers. So if you're the Green Bay Packers, you make it known to everybody, to the fan base, to us, that we want Aaron Rodgers. He's our guy. Because we know how hard this league is, and you have to have a quarterback. He's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. So you make him stay on this team, and you make it an effort. You make a conscious effort to do whatever you can to keep him on your roster, because without him, they're not making any deep runs in the playoffs. They need Aaron Rodgers. They need to get back to where they were. They need to bring it together, get everything that you can on the table, show him that you want him, and hopefully he wants to come back.
I'll remind everyone, this week is the Combine. The Combine is where all the executives and all the agents gather, and that's where a lot of business gets done. So it would be a surprise if Rodgers does not give the team an indication of what he's doing between now and then. That means any day, maybe any minute, we should be expecting news. Having said that, we have a developing story this morning. Just within the last 20 minutes, you need to hear the statement from the agent from Kyler Murray, who is setting the record straight on what he wants. What will it do? It's a mystery. You need to hear it next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back with this developing story. Within the last 20 minutes or thereabouts, the agent for Kyler Murray, whose name is Eric Burkhardt, released a lengthy statement, essentially a press release, describing Kyler Murray's desires to be in Arizona long-term and his desires to get a long-term contract to go with that. It's long. Here are some of the key takeaways. He said he absolutely wants to be the quarterback, desperately wants to win the Super Bowl. Actions speak much louder than words. Remains hopeful the organization chooses to commit. I can tell you I've been covering the sport and sports in general for 30 years. I can't recall anything exactly like this, particularly with a player of this I'm not going to say stature. He's a terrific player, but only been in the league 3 years is the point that I'm trying to make. This is the first time he's eligible for any sort of contractual negotiation. And I would also add, when the agent says, quote, actions speak much louder than words, Kyler Murray scrubbed the Cardinals off of his social media pages about 2 weeks ago. Those were actions that spoke pretty loudly. So, Jeff Darlington, as we've now all had a moment to digest this, what do we say?
Look, first of all, I think that this is more about trying to continue to sway Kyler Murray into the favor in the court of public opinion. Like, this is nothing different than every player tells the organization after his third season. They all want to get paid after their third year. They don't want to play on that rookie deal. They want to get their money. The only thing that I'm really interested in knowing, though, there's two things that are missing from this statement, in my opinion, and deliberately so. The first of which is the amount of money that Kyler Murray is asking for. If we're being transparent, that would be good to know, because that is going to ultimately dictate whether people, fans specifically, are like, wait a second. If you're asking for, say, $50 million a year, that's not fair. The second thing is, what if the team doesn't sign him? Look at that last comment. That, to me, that was in bold. That was the last sentence of the statement. He remains hopeful that the organization chooses to commit so that he can continue leading the Cardinals. Look, I don't know if it's subtle or obvious there, but the word choice suggests to me that if they don't commit, he will not continue leading the Cardinals. So that's the question here. If he doesn't get a deal, is he playing in 2022? To me, this statement suggests that he might not be.
Yeah, I mean, if you parse the words that specifically, it says he needs the long-term deal so he can continue leading the Cardinals, almost suggesting if they don't commit to him that he can't continue. It is a very, very unusual tack for an agent to put out this detailed and this lengthy of a statement. Aninko, I'll come to you. What do we think of this?
Well, so it's kind of funny to me because I signed four extensions in New England. So I signed four contracts with New England before my contract was up for the previous contract. So what that does, number one, it gives you security. So you know you're going to get upfront money, you're going to get guaranteed money, which is, that's huge, that's big. But you also have to realize when you do that, you are not risking going into free agency. And when you risk to go into free agency, number one, you have to risk injury in playing out your contract. And number two, you have to risk hitting the open market. And what do people think of you? What do other teams see you as? So when I think about this and signing an extension, it helps the team if he understands I'm signing this deal 2 years before my deal is completely up, which means we need to work together here. I need to help you. You help me. I get paid. You have a long spread out contract here where you can spread out this cap hit for many years. Because if he goes to free agency, you don't know in the next couple of years, he might get hurt again. He's had injuries. Mm-hmm. So this game of football, we all know it's there's no guarantees here. You could have a massive injury and your career could be over. So if he wants to get paid right now, he needs to understand I'm going to have to take a drastic cut in what I expect to get paid per year and what I expect my bonus to be. If he wants to make top dollar, well, he's got to keep playing. He's got to hit free agency. He's got to get to MVP or top five quarterback type performances to expect to make 40 to 50 million a year, whatever. But if he wants 20, sure, I'll give you 20 million a year.
Yeah, and to your point, this is normal business for the player to want this. It is certainly not so normal for it to be put out there this publicly in this fashion. Right. Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, so he's after his third year, he's up for extension. There's not going to be a lot of better players that the Cardinals can get in the next year or two than Kyler Murray. So the value or what he is asking for when it comes to price point is everything. I don't think, respectfully, I don't think there's anybody who watches and studies as much tape when it comes to the quarterback position as me in this industry. And my question to Kyler and his representatives, and I think Kyler's a fantastic player, okay? Is he that much better than when he came into the NFL 3 years ago? Hmm. Does he show that meteoric improvement? I want everyone to understand where he is in comparison to when he came in the NFL. His rookie year in 2019, he threw for 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,700 yards. His second year, 2020, he threw for 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 3,900 yards. This past season, his third in the NFL, he threw for 24 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 3,700 yards. There's not much improvement when it comes to performance for Kyler Murray over the past 3 years. In comparison to Josh Allen, who just signed his monster deal after his third season. Yeah. Josh Allen's rookie year, he threw for 10 touchdowns and 2,000 yards. In his third season, he threw for 37 touchdowns and over 4,000 yards. Buffalo saw this out of Josh Allen, just this meteoric rise. We haven't seen that from Kyler Murray. He's a fantastic talent, make no bones about it. But I don't see this incredible improvement, Danny, where he can go to Arizona and say, you better pay me right now.
I got 30 seconds. Is that on the player, or are you talking about the development also? I mean, how much is that about the people developing Kyler Murray? I guess what I'm asking you is, does he have it in him, or are you suggesting that maybe we're seeing the ceiling?
He absolutely has the talent in him to go on a meteoric rise. We have not seen that talent show itself in play consistently, yeah. No.
Okay, fascinating. All right, this is really interesting, and we'll wait and see where it goes. Will there be a response? Will he get the deal? I guess we'll find out. As we continue, much more from the world of basketball on this morning. Again, it was a Hollywood nightmare last night. Boo birds for Bron and the Lakers after another awful performance. We'll take you there as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are now very much in the NFL offseason, and the moves are about to start coming fast and furious, we would expect, with the combine set for this week, free agency around the corner, and then the NFL draft. So, Danny, you've put together the top five moves you desperately want to see. Take it away.
I'll start with the Washington Commanders. And if I was Washington organization, I have to go and at least try to find my future starting quarterback. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and if that doesn't work out, go after Mitchell Trubisky, a guy who is 29 and 21 as a starter in Chicago with not an ideal situation that we know of, obviously, now. And also what he did last year when he finally got some really good coaching and better offensive talent around him. You saw the talent that he has and the ability to become the player that he potentially can be. I like Washington go and make a run for Mitchell Trubisky. Number four, Cincinnati. Become the Kansas City Chiefs of last year. The Chiefs, after the Super Bowl, realized we got major issues on our offensive line. We have to go do something about it. They replaced four starters. Cincinnati, you got to go and commit to rebuilding your offensive line, not only for the performance of your quarterback and what he can be with protection, but also understanding the health of him is going to be paramount moving forward. Number three, the New England Patriots. Go see if you can trade for Calvin Ridley from the Atlanta Falcons. Calvin Ridley is a superstar at the wide receiver spot. The last time we saw him play a healthy season was 2020, when he had 90 catches for 1,400 yards and 9 touchdowns. What became apparent last year in the New England Patriot offense, although the offensive line and run game are great and they got those two tight ends, they need a legit number one receiver downfield. Number two, the New York Giants. See if you can get trade value for Saquon Barkley. I think he's a tremendous talent. In the last 3 years, he's missed 20 games. He's got 1,600 yards rushing in the last 3 seasons. Yes, it's a bad offensive line. That offensive line is not going to be that much better this year. See if you can go get some value for him so you don't have to go next year after this season going, do we pay him or not, when he's only had another mediocre performance at best. And then the last thing would be this. The Green Bay Packers need to try and sign Chris Godwin opposite Davante Adams. He's a big, physical, strong-handed, great route running, owns the middle of the field, reliable wide receiver. And this is a guy that will be so important for their offense in January and February. What happens in the postseason is teams key on Davante Adams. And then I feel like Aaron sometimes thinks, Devontae's my only guy. I got to try to do so much. At least that's what happened in San Francisco game last year. He doesn't necessarily trust anybody else. I want to see them commit to going. We are, unequivocally, we are all in to go win a Super Bowl, and we got to get a piece outside of Devontae.
I love that entire list. Candidly, I could react to so many of them. I'm 1,000% with you on Trubisky. The Ridley of it all is fascinating. Saquon, I'd like to bookmark and get to on another day. But let's live in the Chris Godwin of it here. Because earlier you said that the Packers need another answer here. Jeff, I just wonder if Chris Godwin's going to be a highly sought-after player. Right? He would have been a year ago. We know he suffered the knee injury here. Right. But I would assume it's going to take a lot of money for someone to sign Chris Godwin. Yes?
I love that, Dan. Here's the thing. I would agree on the money. It's just the recovery from the injury that might devalue him in the eyes of some, but not in the eyes of a team that, as Dan pointed out earlier, needs to have its best part of the season at the end. If Chris Godwin can't play the first several weeks of the season, so what? If you can have Chris Godwin lining up for you in the playoffs, that is a tremendous addition. This is an awesome guy in the locker room, a great leader, and obviously someone who's very capable of playing with an elite quarterback. I love that move, Dan.
People talk at length, Ninko, on this show have talked about all the things that Godwin adds to a team, even beyond, I think it was Tim Hasselbeck who was making the point on this show, the things he adds beyond the obvious, his willingness to be a blocker, doing kind of the dirty work, running the dirty work kind of routes, that he is more than just the numbers that he puts on a stat sheet, Nick.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I also think that you're trying to get a guy like that of his caliber. You offer him a contract that reflects his actual playing abilities and not the fact that he has an ACL that he's recovering from. Because we've seen guys come back from ACLs their first year. They might be a little bit slower than where they were at before. But then that second year, they're just tremendous. So I'd go get Godwin. And guess what? I'd go pitch Rob Gronkowski. Hey, the best quarterback of all time just retired. Why don't you go play for the best quarterback currently of all times that's playing right now? Get Rob Gronkowski. Get him in the red zone. You'll say, guess what? I know it's cold up there, but we'll put 5 heaters around you. We'll keep you warm. You don't have to practice all week. Just come here and catch the ball from the 20-yard line in. That's it. Just get Gronk in the red zone. Boom. Touchdown.
Cindy, let's take a one-shot of Ninko if we can here. Ninko, give us if Aaron Rodgers calls Gronk, give me Gronk's response.
Yo, Aaron, yeah, it's me, it's Gronk. Oh, I'm a beast. Touchdowns? Yeah, let's party, bro. Let's go. Yeah, he would do that. That's what he would do.
The laugh
That's
at the
phenomenal,
end.
Dude. That's phenomenal.
It's kind of like Darlington spinning things on his finger. Nink has like a sneaky skill for imitating people that you don't always see it coming. Yeah, give us one spin. Jalen is ready. Give us one. Yep. Why not? There's no reason not to on a Monday morning. Let him demonstrate the significance of centrifugal force. Well done. All right, let's get up and go. It's an incredibly busy day we have working today in the world of sports, particularly in baseball. If the owners and players don't agree on a new contract by the end of the day, The league says opening day will be canceled along with potentially a week's worth of games. And I will reiterate, there is no reason to believe that a deal is getting done today or anytime particularly soon. Meanwhile, back to football. Buccaneers Pro Bowl left guard Ali Marpet suddenly announced his retirement yesterday. This was a real surprise. He's only 28 years old. A source says he made the decision due to concerns for his overall health. College basketball, expect a huge shakeup as the new AP Top 25 poll is released today, because for the first time ever, seven top 10 teams lost on the same day Saturday, including number one Gonzaga. It also marked the first time ever that all five AP Top 5 teams were taken down on the same day. March doesn't officially begin till tomorrow, but it certainly feels like the madness has already begun. And for tonight, our final big Monday doubleheader of the year, the Boeheim brothers leading Syracuse against North Carolina, 7 Eastern. Then it's a big one in the Big 12, number 10 Baylor in Austin to take on number 20 Texas. Both games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. And so we are approaching tournament time in college basketball. And the ACC Network has a fantastic series looking at the ACC tournament's illustrious history. Many of Coach K's greatest moments are documented in the series. There are also some other memorable moments, including this one.
I remember him pressuring me in front of their bench, put him on my hip, and I went to spin off, and I just crossed it over and went. And I remember seeing him try to kick me as he was falling down.
Oh, my! What a cross over there!
He shakes and bakes, and Jeff McGinnis goes down to the floor, and there's Randolph looks at him and motions for him. Get up right as he drains another three over his head.
Oh man. Little salt in the wound there.
I remember Coach Smith behind me. He can't do that. That's taunting.
For more on that memorable moment and so many others, watch The Tournament, a history of ACC men's basketball, episodes 7 and 8 tonight, 9 Eastern, on the ACC Network. All right, back to the Lakers we go in a moment. A disastrous performance last night for LeBron and his team. They were soundly booed at home. Are there any answers? We will ask Jalen Rose that question. And with no Hembo today, you got Sneaky Greeny coming at you, Jay.
Okay, let's get it.
We saw James Harden spectacular on Friday night. Which player has the most points in his team debut after playing for a different team earlier in the season? That's the question. The answer is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Get on up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up. The great Jalen Rose is here, and here we go. Hembo is on vacation this week, so I did the trivia question today. We saw James Harden have a very big night on Friday night, which begs the question, which player scored the most points in his team debut after playing for a different team earlier that season?
So first off, this gentleman got to be versatile.
Uh-huh.
He gotta be like a guy that like deals with adversity and change instantly.
Right.
So I would say that's me.
It was Jalen Rose.
That's me.
The answer
you
is Jalen.
That's
himself.
Me.
36
I mean?
Points in a Chicago uniform.
Right, exactly. Take that, James Harden.
Well, we'll talk about Harden in a minute. He's got a lot of good feeling working right now. Let's start with the Lakers, Jalen, because they were just embarrassed at home last night. And I mean literally embarrassed. And it starts immediately. Ball security or the opposite thereof. Look at this pass from LeBron.
Sloppy basketball by the Los Angeles Lakers in front of their home fans. Good for them that they're firmly entrenched in the ninth spot.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they'd go a lot further lower.
Look, more turnovers here again. Westbrook gives it up. And look at the lack of defensive intensity as this one will wind up in a McCollum bucket.
And Greeny, the one thing about playing against that purple and gold for the other team
It's always a big game. So they want to kick the Lakers while they're down.
It keeps on happening. There's another turnover, and it results in a bucket on the other end. The Lakers, 16 turnovers in the first half, and then after another here in the third quarter when LeBron throws this one to no one in particular. I want everyone to listen.
Oh, boy.
These are the fans in L.A. Listen. Jalen, hard to blame them as we watch maybe the – look at this pass from DeAndre Jordan, Jay. What is this?
Now, seriously, after DeAndre Jordan threw this pass, I think he should have just left the arena behind it. I'm dead serious. Like, you can't put him back out there if he's going to make a pass like
we
that.
We will talk about it in a moment. LeBron has no answers.
I don't have an answer from tonight. I mean, obviously, you talk about the future. I don't – that's for us all to figure out. I mean, you don't know what can happen in the next, you know, few weeks, but tonight, I mean, from the six minute point of the second quarter through the third, no answers. No, this is this season is definitely different.
Does the booing, like, you know, pretty loud, especially at the end of the game, does that stick with you? Like, how do you handle that? Like,
nah.
You don't take that home with you?
Take it home for what?
I don't think about it.
One, take it home. Man, well, I got three beautiful kids at my house. My wife, I ain't taking it home. They can take their booing, they can take their. I ain't worried about that. Doesn't bother me none.
So I love this game. I love Russ. I love LeBron like anybody else. You have to take it home. That's not accurate.
Mm.
He's a Hall of Fame player, Greeny. He's playing in front of his home fans. And the Lakers are ninth in the West. The Clippers without Kawhi Leonard have a better record than the Lakers playing with LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. That is unacceptable.
When you say he's playing in front of his home fans, both literally and figuratively, not only does he play for the home team, he's from L.A. It meant a lot to him to come back and play for this franchise. I was going to start with LeBron, but let's start with Westbrook. It couldn't have gone worse, right? It could not possibly have gone worse.
It could not have gone worse for the Lakers. These playing Lakers, as I'm going to start to call them, because that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. And the one thing about being a franchise that's storied, that has 17 championships, that has multiple Hall of Famers hanging in the rafters, that has statues in front of the building, you know what the Pelicans see when they show up? An opportunity to kick you when you're down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to have a lot of national games. We're going to do a lot of their games.
Yeah.
And a lot of teams are going to get up for them to play against him and to kick them. Why they down?
We're going to be there, and we're going to be in L.A. doing countdown this weekend, including Warriors-Lakers at the Crypto.com Arena on Saturday night. Because to your point, it says Lakers, and they've got, you know, these guys that we all know. Can they get it? What can they realistically do? They got 20 games or thereabouts. At some point, they're going to get Anthony Davis back. What's the ceiling? What's the best they could be?
So when you show me having 36 points in my Bulls debut, what is lost in that is the professionalism that came with it.
Mm-hmm.
I got traded to a team that had 9 wins. So what you want this group of guys to do is actually play with effort, play with discipline, play like they care, because this team is going to be a part of the plan. So they're going to be a first-round exit. Let's just make sure we're on the same page. LeBron James and the Lakers will be a first-round exit. But how you approach it between now and then says a lot about your professionalism and your character. You need players to show up, play with effort, play with discipline, and try to do what they can to turn this thing around.
Is that on the coach? I mean, our friend Mr. Stephen A. Smith on our evening shows on NBA Countdown has for a while now been wondering about the job security of Frank Vogel.
No. We ain't doing that.
Okay.
Hold on.
What are
this
we not
ain't
doing?
On Frank Vogel. This is on the players, because the Lakers did a great job of investing in the LeBron James championship. We talked about this, and they got it. They got the LeBron, and they doubled down to try to get Russ. That Washington deal was a double down where they crapped out. And when you crap out, you go to the lottery or you go to the play-in. That's where these Lakers team is heading.
Yeah,
but
going,
it ain't on Frank Vogel. He done already won them a championship.
That's
prove
fair.
He can do it.
They're going to the play-in, again, to be clear. We differentiate. That's not the first round. The first round is after the play-in.
Correct.
When you get either Golden State or Phoenix or maybe Memphis. Mm. There's no way in the world this team can compete with those.
No, not
right?
at all.
Not a chance.
Not at all. But I have to say this. They can't compete with Phoenix or the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
A healthy LeBron and a healthy AD, I give them a puncher's chance against Memphis. They won't get swept.
Well, we'll see. Memphis could easily catch Golden State and wind up number two. We'll see if that winds up happening. Now, let's go to the other end, both of the country and the spectrum. We had this game yesterday.
Yes.
Harden and Embiid, and they just, they look unstoppable. Embiid used the word unstoppable, and that's exactly how they look.
So when Michael Jordan retired, the East became a revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks, the Pacers, the Sixers, the Nets, the Pistons all got chances to win the East. The same when LeBron left the East.
Mm-hmm.
The Raptors, the Heat, the Bucks have all had their chances. You ready for this, Greeny?
Yeah.
I believe this is the chance for the Sixers. I believe this is the chance for the Nets. Not dismissing the world champion Bucks, not dismissing the Heat, but I think this is a great opportunity for either the Sixers or the Nets to actually win the East this year.
Well, those do feel, it's fascinating you say that, because the Sixers look great and the Nets are just horrendous, despite a terrific win on Saturday night in Milwaukee. But we all know they're all getting their guys back. But let's start with this, all right? All the speculation, what would Embiid and Harden look like? I get it's just two games and not against the best teams in the sport. But they couldn't look better, right, than they've looked so far.
A virtual dynamic duo. Here's the thing. When your best players are able to mask your weaknesses, so if you were going to say, how can we beat the Sixers? You would say, let's put Joel in pick and roll. Let's make Harden play D. But the problem with that is they're so efficient scoring the ball and getting to the line. Now you got to play against their set defense all of the time. And so now James Harden getting five steals. He's resting on D while Joel Embiid is shooting 20 free throws. That's a dynamic that this team hasn't had, clearly. And you added a James Harden to a team that was playing well with Embiid. They were the number one seed last year with Ben Simmons.
Right.
And now James Harden is engaged. Joel Embiid is dominant. I love this Philadelphia team. The one thing they have to do is figure out the role for Tobias Harris and Paul Millsap. I don't like them playing backup center. That's the one thing I don't like for Philadelphia, but Doc Rivers is a championship coach. I feel like they'll find a way to figure
it
out.
He is a championship coach, but a lot has been made of some of the failures. I mean, give him credit for the success,
no,
but some of the 3-1 leads they've lost and all the rest of that. There's a lot of pressure on this team. We did a topic yesterday morning on NBA Countdown where we talked about who the pressure is on in Philadelphia, because it is championship or bust.
Yes.
And Stephen A. said the GM, Daryl Morey, and Michael Wilbon said James Harden himself, and you said
Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Michael Rubin was at the game yesterday sitting front row with Robert Kraft and Meek Mill. He like, I got the job done.
That's the owner.
Right? Okay. Daryl Morey, when he got to Philly, his job was to bring James Harden. He got the job done. Joel Embiid's job was to be one of the best players in the league. He's getting the job done. If this don't happen, they ain't trading James Harden. They're going to fire Doc Rivers. So that's why it's important for him to continue to nurture this roster, and I believe that he will.
And that does beg the question about what they will be in the playoffs, because you watch them out in the open floor, teams don't prepare for them, all the free throws, everything else. When you get into a playoff scenario and it's seven games and everyone's preparing for exactly what you're doing, it will come down to the decisions. Will they? They're not going to look like that in a playoff scenario,
well,
right?
Well, the beautiful thing about how they play, see, some teams, like the Bulls, for example, to me, play a regular season style that probably won't translate to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they play a playoff style already. The pick and roll, the dribble handoff, the getting Embiid at the free throw line to get Embiid rolling, and James Harden going to boogie one-on-one on the right side, knocking down threes. Like, this is who they are going to be, and it's just going to continue to get better.
So, tonight, Miami plays Chicago. Those are the two teams at the top of the conference standings. Milwaukee is the defending champ. The Celtics are red hot right now. The Cavs have had a very good year. The Sixers just got that guy. And the Nets, while we have not yet seen them together, we do wonder what it will look like when, if and when, we finally do. Who is the team to beat in the East?
And shout to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
You ready for this? Today, I wanted to say the Bucks, but as I look, Brook Lopez has dealt with injury, and I think they're a little light up front. And shout to Bobby Portis for giving them quality minutes. I'm going with the Sixers and the Nets. To me, those are my Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
The Sixers.
We'll see which side of
the
draw.
Nets.
See, the Nets, they have so much ground. As of this minute, Kyrie Irving is only eligible to play seven more games the rest of this regular season. Now, something could happen with the vaccine mandates, in New York City, but they haven't happened yet. So the question becomes, without Kyrie, could they wind up on the same side of the bracket? That's really the question. The Nets could wind up in the play-in tournament.
With Kyrie only playing road games and me not having to haven't seen Ben Simmons, I must give credit to the Bucks. I must give credit to the Heat. But if they're healthy, KD's healthy, if Kyrie's eligible to play, and Ben Simmons is an all-star level player, I'm taking the Sixers and the Nets to be my conference final.
How many ifs, though, are there? I mean, and I'm with you.
A lot
of ifs. No one's going to disagree with what you're saying.
A lot of ifs.
But count the ifs for Brooklyn.
And that's the beautiful thing about the Eastern Conference race, because we know what we're getting from the Bucks. I know what I'm getting from the Heat. I do not know what I'm getting from the Nets.
Right.
And that's why this is great theater. I'm so glad we got the Eastern Conference this year for the playoffs.
It is going to be loaded. Right,
yes,
we have
indeed.
A big week ahead
yes,
of us.
Indeed,
thank you, Jay.
Brother.
Awesome. As
yes,
always,
indeed.
Jalen Rose, Jalen and Jacoby coming up later today.
Give the people what first, they want.
First Take, meanwhile, is coming up in just a few minutes here on ESPN. Has James Harden already proven the Sixers won that trade? And should LeBron want out of L.A.? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Big Perk, and Marcus Spears. Top of the hour on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, our featured NHL game tomorrow on ESPN Plus. Blue Jackets Devils coverage starts 7 Eastern. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Okay, it wouldn't be a Monday here if we didn't finish it up with Danny and his jokes. So, Dan, take it away.
Darlington, you ready, bub? Ninko, you ready?
Yeah,
all right, I got
I love
two.
It. Yeah, let's go.
My grandmother is 80% Irish, so most people just call her Iris.
Okay. Took me a second. I wish I hadn't gotten it. Okay, that's one. What's the next one?
This is the best one of the two. The guy who invented Velcro has died. R.I.P.
That's better.
I love you. You're the best. Everybody, thanks so much for getting
on. That's hilarious.
We'll First Take starts now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.